I'm Wendy Sanders, a.k.a. Kenya75.
And I'm Jake Duncan. That's Duncan Bilingual on the Twitters.
And this is our very first podcast, Cutting Education. We are going to talk to you today about some features of iOS 7.
Yes, and we're excited to have our first show. I'm pumped up about it. So I'm excited to share a lot of stuff, too. A lot of iOS 7 features that I think have really made a big difference for me versus iOS 6. I've really enjoyed it. So much so that I even upgraded my phone recently. So again, my name is Jake Duncan, and I am a dual language bilingual educator in New Caney, Texas. And I teach sixth grade social studies this year, almost entirely in Spanish.
Almost. Do you guys not go back and forth? Do you do anything where you do, like, you don't, is it dual language or is it bilingual? Like, where do you go back and forth?
Well, it's dual language, but in sixth grade, basically their only classes that they've got in Spanish at all are science and social studies.
Okay.
So we kind of, we're about 90% Spanish, and then testing would make up a lot of that other 10%.
Right, right. And as I said, I'm Wendy Sanders, and currently I am an instructional technology specialist in Irving Independent School District in Irving, Texas. And it's my first year as an ITS. I taught before that for approximately 16 years. I've taught second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, but I am just loving my new position in Irving. It's so much fun. Even the meetings are fun. We have a great staff. We have about 20 elementary ITSs, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of learning. I'm learning a lot this year, and that's why I got you, Jake, here to help me out, right?
Well, I'll do what I can. I'm enjoying being back in the classroom this year. I think it's so much fun for me. I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. We had our, we called it the Lion's Pride Night last night, sort of our Meet the Teacher Night, and I just got a chance to actually meet a lot of the parents that I've spoken to on the phone, and it's just great to, you know, to get that reinforcement from the parents that the students are enjoying class and that they're coming home and they're excited about learning. So it was great to hear from the parents and get to actually meet them last night. So I'm even more pumped up about my position now.
And you guys have been in school. Are you on 6 weeks or 9 weeks?
We're on 9 weeks, which is different for me, but yeah, we just had it last night because our principal really wanted us to get a chance to know the students before we had a Meet the Teacher Night.
Right. So did you come to the end of your quarter yet or no?
No, this is our 7th week now.
Okay. So you got a few more weeks to go.
Yeah.
Grades will be due soon. Yay. Okay. If you didn't know this, when you swipe up from the bottom, the very bottom, you can get a big toolbar of things, and that will give you all sorts of neat things. There's a flashlight. My mom the other day told me, she's like, oh, Wendy, I found there's a flashlight on my phone. So she was excited. The one on the left, there's a flashlight, and then the clock and a calculator and your camera. And you can get to your airplane mode and Bluetooth and wireless that way also, and your music, which for me, I'm always listening to music, so that's good. But I do want to show you, under the Compass app. If you swipe down from the top, you can search your apps, and I want to show you the Compass app. If you swipe back to the right, there is a Level app, so you can, this has been really handy going back to my house. You can, it's turned on the side now, you can see. And when I turn it on the side, I can see if my pictures, and if I'm hanging pictures at home, then I can see if it's level or not, obviously, when it's at zero. So I think that's really handy because I have been hanging a lot of pictures lately and different things at my house, and it's very handy to have a level that's not a separate app. So,
absolutely. You know, I have known about that for a bit now, and I hadn't thought really much about it. Whenever we have students put up work, I just sort of will send them out and say, you know, can you put some of these things up in the hallway for us? And then I look at it, and I realize that you know, they didn't quite want to do it the exact same way that I would do it, so they're just sort of all over the place with it. But
right.
I should have them use I'm having them use my iPhone 4 that is now, you know, class iPhone, so they could be using that a lot to do that too.
Yeah, that would be cool. And then the other thing I want to show is, I'll just show all my cool things first. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Since I'm on here. this is one of the coolest features, I think, for messaging that they've done is the texts now have timestamps, so when you swipe across there, you can see what time people sent you text messages, which these are just my Target offers, but you can see that when they were texting me. I like that one a lot. It's one of my favorites. And then the other one, which I didn't show you yet, I don't think, is on Safari. I love these tabs, how they show all the tabs. But I love here at the bottom, you can see all the things. It syncs with my Safari things that I've marked. You see what I've marked there on the bottom. TextCraft, right? Can you see that?
Yeah, I was going to say, how awesome is it that you've got code spells open there?
Yeah, I was looking at that. We'll have to talk about that on another show, but I was looking at that for my upcoming innovative after-school girls technology club. So that's what I'm gonna use that for. Hopefully, I don't know if code spells will be too hard for them, but we'll have to figure it out anyway. So
well,
yeah,
awesome
that's
that you have it set to private while we're broadcasting. Also, very cool.
Does that matter?
The private browsing?
Yeah.
That's also a good chance to show people that that's where you access that too. Now that they moved that out of the way there, so when you look at all of them, you see it.
Oh, it's just private. Like it, I don't really understand. I feel stupid now.
Like a Chrome incognito tab.
Oh, okay. Okay. It doesn't. How come you can't see though what's on my? Because normally you can see what's on my tabs. Is it just because they're not loaded?
I saw some of them. I saw at least one.
Oh, the one at the top there. Yeah. Anyway, that's one of my favorite things is how you can look down at the bottom and see different things that I've marked on Safari on my. On my MacBook, so I love that one. All right, I'm gonna go off.
I was gonna say. So you said no, you can. While you were there, though, you in Safari with those tabs open that on iPhone or iPods that you can swipe away those tabs instead of tapping the X.
Right.
So on
there
iPad,
you go. Like
that's
that.
Not probably as big a deal, but I think for phone, it's a lot. I have big thumbs or awkward thumbs, apparently, and it's difficult for me to tap the X to close those. So I just go ahead and swipe those away from right to left, and I like that, too. I think that's pretty neat.
Well, while we're talking about it, then the same thing. I don't know if you know about this, but when you double-click to see what you've been looking at to close your apps, did you know that you can close three apps at a time? Did you know this?
I didn't because I did, but I don't have an iPad, so I don't get to do it.
No, this is my iPhone.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that
you could swipe.
Yeah, look. So watch this. Oops, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I thought that was just an iPad-only thing.
No, so you double-click, and then I can choose to get rid of three at a time. Isn't
that's
that cool?
Awesome.
It's hard for me to do three, but right there, it's three at a time. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I like that one, too.
We do have a class set of we have a cart of iPads.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to check those out, and I showed the kids a lot of those things. They didn't know generally the multitasking gestures for iPad in general, and I think that that's, you know, it's magic to them because
right.
I tell them that, you know, basically when I introduce iPads, I always say that, you know, there are two buttons on an iPad, and you've already tapped the home button several times and, you know, sort of introducing to the idea. I hope it's still called a home button. But the idea that that's going to be the first thing to go, if as long as our screens stay safe and we don't drop these things and they don't crack.
Right.
And they all have OtterBox cases on them here for our cart. But I showed them those multitasking gestures to use the four fingers to swipe up just because I don't have my own iPad to do that with. So when I get a chance to show them that, a lot of the students, I have four students who have their own iPads. And they didn't know some of those things. They knew swiping between apps, using the four fingers to swipe from right to left or left to right, but they didn't know a few of those that I thought were pretty interesting. And I'm not sure what the term is for it, for being able to close an app without pressing the home button once, the sort of claw.
Right.
So that's sort of what we were coming up with the name for that. Pawing, clawing, closing gesture, but they love that stuff, and you know that's simple things. But I think it really does save that home button quite a bit. That it, you know, it'll make it last a lot longer that way.
Now, are all your iPads updated to iOS 7? No.
Is no, a... we updated them to iOS 7.
Well, because I was trying to I didn't know if those were... I haven't really played with my iPad a whole lot lately. I've been on my MacBook more, and I didn't know if all those gestures were still the same. You know, like, have they changed... Because I really like the claw. That's one of my favorite things, to close an app and the swiping back and forth between. And those were some of the things last year that I taught my fifth graders all the time, were those little tricks. And I, you know, now that they've changed the spotlight or where you search, you know, how you don't search across, how you swipe down, I didn't know if that had changed also, you know.
No, they work. And my, you know, like I said, my kids loved that. One kid updated to iOS 7, and I'm not terribly sure about that, but I thought that once you do that, you really don't go back.
Right.
2.6. So I was like, well, if one kid did it, then let's all do it. It only took about 5 minutes with 30 of them in my room. So even on my room, and I don't have a wireless access point in mine, there are ones around me. So I was pretty amazed. But whenever I was first updating, I was worried about that.
Right.
I thought this is going to take forever, and this is going to take 2 gigs of space back on my old iPhone 4. And, you know, we're talking about all this cool new stuff, but I've kind of forgotten a lot about where things are. And I take it for granted how easy so many things are with iOS 7, that the being able to the spotlight search, the just swiping down in the middle of the page, sure mm-hmm. beats swiping through multiple pages to get back to the spotlight search. And it was a lot of wasted space there, I think, too, whenever you start searching. If your search is, you know, fairly well defined, if it's a narrow search, you're not going to find as many things. So you're not filling up that space. So mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's one of my favorite things.
Yep. All right, what do we want to talk about next?
Well, I'm not sure. Did you want to talk about the updating the apps in the background, turning those off, or just having the background apps?
Yeah, let me pull that one up too, I guess, right? Did I shut off Air Server?
I could just mention a couple things while you're doing that.
Yeah, mention a couple things while I'm...
Well, the text size, being able to edit the text size because the font is fairly thin with iOS 7.
Something happened really to your sound there.
But that's just under settings in general. The text size is an option there now. And if it was there before, I don't remember it being in that same place. So it's pretty easy access.
I'll show you the accessibility. Under settings, if you go to the gray button settings and you go to... accessibility, it's under general, and then you go to accessibility. That is where you can reduce motion. Here it is, reduce motion, and I have it turned on. You can turn it on or off, and it changes the strange thing, I guess it's called the parallax effect of where the icons are. Like, you know, you can turn, I love on the iPad, I think it looks really cool, but I've turned it off on my iPhone and my iPad because it actually affects the battery life. It's kind of like three-dimensional. When you move your thing back and forth, you can kind of look at your background a little more clearly. But I have it turned off because I don't want my battery life to go down. You can see I'm charging, but it's because I have a Mophie on right now, or else I'd be out of battery. And then you want me to show the other one, the background app refresh?
Sure.
Okay. If I can find it. There it is. It's under general also. And then that actually allows your apps to refresh content when you're on cellular or Wi-Fi. So if you turn off those, then you can preserve your battery life. So if I turn that off, then I can have better battery life. Maybe that's why, because there's been times in the morning where I'll get up and my phone should be charged at 100%, and literally like 15 or maybe 15 to 30 minutes later, I don't know what's affecting it, but it's like my battery life goes way down just even after I get up in the morning. And what do you think about where they've talked about, like, what do you think about where they talk about battery life? Have you ever heard, like, you know, they say closing your apps, you should close your apps because it takes your battery life. And then I heard that was just a myth. Like, that wasn't, what do you think about that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I fell prey to that for the longest time, and then I think that some people sort of admitted that it wasn't true, that the apps that aren't really running in the background don't really take up, they're not doing anything in the background. It doesn't, you can have as many of those open at any given time, and it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
I don't know that that's the case anymore. I still do it. I still close those.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through and search through them. So if I'm not using it, I'll still close it. But, you know, the ones that are running music in the background and will do stuff like that, those are going to be using battery life. But I haven't had the problems that everybody, that a lot of people have had. Every time there's an update, battery life becomes an issue.
Yeah. You mean a major update, though, right? You don't mean just like, you mean like 6 to 7 or 5 to 6.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I do remember reading a couple of articles about that you didn't really have to do that. It wasn't such a big deal to have. You could have quite a few of them going, but I just haven't had the battery life issues. So it's kind of surprised me that Eventbrite would be one that would be wanting to do background app refresh. I don't know, but some of the ones that I've turned a lot of those off except for location tools. So.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are run on that, so maps and all those types of things, Waze and stuff like that, I will keep on for background up refresh. I do have the auto updating turned on, and because I'm sort of a nerd like this, I want to know when updates come out. I'm seeing them on Twitter now before I'm really
realizing. Sort of okay. A nerd?
Okay, I'm not a nerd at all, but... But, you know, those I like to see whenever cool new updates come out for stuff. And I didn't see Duolingo's whenever Duolingo allowed. They basically, you download a certain amount. You can do offline Duolingo. So it'll download a set of things to practice, words to practice, or the next set for, and Duolingo is the language learning app, just in case anybody didn't, because I'm just a huge fan of that one. So I think that's great for my students because they don't have access outside of school. So when I didn't hear about that until, well, they shared it on Plus, but it was a day later, you know, and I'd like to know whenever stuff, I can share stuff like that, just kind of, mm-hmm. you know, as much as possible.
Yeah.
I do think that there are a couple, and I didn't mean to jump off the conversation there, but I don't know. I don't think that, just for me, I haven't had those issues as much as other people, and I think some people just keep every single thing open and just never close anything. So a couple of features that I did want to share that I think are pretty neat is blocking callers, the ability to block callers.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not going to get off on Google Voice, but they need an update for Google Voice it hasn't been updated and seems like forever. But that was the reason that I always shared Google Voice and told people to use Google Voice was that you can block people. You know, you give them this fake front phone number so that it'll still go to your phone and call them through the app, but you could block people with that, and you never could block people with iPhone until iOS 7, and I just think that's awesome. If people consistently call, then you should be able to block them. So I think that's a fantastic one for me.
Yeah.
I really think AirDrop is an awesome feature for education. Particularly when you have lots of students with devices. Sharing files that way is pretty amazing to me. I think I said it's sort of like, to me it's like a silent chirp that you don't have to chirp to get picture to picture. You can just share them through AirDrop. And I haven't gotten to use it an awful lot, but I just think it's a really amazing tool.
Do you want to share what Chirp is just in case people don't know?
Oh, I guess I should because I talk
about it. I love Chirp.
Well, I still think Chirp's amazing because Chirp is it's fairly device agnostic now with regard to mobile devices, to phones, because there's an Android app and an iOS app. And it was limited to iOS for the longest time. So schools that were one-to-one iPads or that type of thing, it wasn't a big deal for it. But it basically is a way to share links or pictures or text through sound. They call it a bird song sound. So it makes this cute little, you know, noise, and students are able to share pictures from device to device. It's also great for people in general who, if you have pictures taken with a bunch of people at a conference and you don't know, you don't have all of their contact information, then you just chirp it. And with students, I've always said that if you, you know, they used to have the Chrome extension that worked, and they're going to work on their Chrome extension also. So we'll be able to chirp from any device at that point, at least chirp from any device. I'd sure love to be able to receive chirps from any device also. But it's just a really simple way to share links with students. And so you share it one time, and as long as one student gets it, then I turn around and I don't need to chirp it anymore. They'll chirp it, and they'll chirp it to each other. And really everybody's there on the same page or whatever you'd like to be doing. We used it with Infuse Learning a lot to get them to Infuse Learning without going to student.infuselearning.com. even with short URLs, with the goo.gls, those are such ugly URLs that students have a hard time getting to those pages. So with Chirp, it's just really quick. And this is for students who, you know, don't... There's so many ways to get students on the same page, but it just they all sort of take time. I think Chirp's a really quick one. So yeah. You could share it by email, but then they have to go into their email and make sure they're logged into that. So there are just so many ways. I think Chirp, you don't need anything except to have the Chirp app open, and then you can share pictures, not just links, but pictures that way also. And, of course, text. So I'm a huge fan of Chirp.
I like Chirp a lot. Last year, iPad Sammy, shout out, our first shout out, name dropping, iPad Sammy shared it on Techlandia, and I started using it right after that because I had like 10 iPads and 12 iPods, and the kids love it. You know, it's through the sound waves, so you have to have your volume turned up, but it's great. The kids love it. And conferences, remember at iPad Palooza, we used it, and I chirped stuff out to people there. I think I chirped something out. I wanted to show you, the people that are watching on the Google Hangout, can I show them how to actually block callers? Because I knew that was available, but I didn't even know where to do it.
Oh, can yeah, I show sure, you that? Do it.
Okay. Here we go.
Can we mention, too, while you're doing that about Chirp? Because, again, Chirp, I think it was, I forget who it was. I'm not going to do more name dropping. But I think Chirp is, again, a fantastic way for morning announcements, for PA systems, really anywhere, to be able to share things that way. You know, I haven't really, I've mostly been with links, but even with pictures, I think it would be fantastic for at a football game to be able to share a picture of somebody who couldn't make it to homecoming that night, so let's chirp everybody the picture of them that couldn't make it. It's just such an awesome tool. Sorry.
All right, so you click on phone, obviously, and then I have, let's say, like a call. Oops, it's calling them. I don't want to do that. Whoops. You have to press the I, not the number, because you don't want to call that caller that you want to block. And then you scroll down to the bottom there, and it says block this caller, and you can block it right there. So it's awesome. It's pretty easy. I like it a lot. It's just one of my favorite things. I do like that. I do like that you can block callers really easily. It's one of my favorite things, too.
Yeah, you can also do that through the settings on your phone. That's a lot easier to do it that way, though.
Right.
Than to go to. But I guess if you had a list of people that you decided you wanted to block all of a sudden, then you could also do it through settings and then phone and go and look at it, too.
Is there anything else we want to talk about?
I guess just the one more thing that... I guess it might... It's a little bit creepy, the thing that that iOS 7, sort of keeps track of your location, so the locations where you often are, it will keep a lot of cached data about those areas. So if you need to find a pizza place near there, then it's likely to be able to find something for you quickly without having to search for a while. And I think that's kind of handy in a lot of ways. So that's located under the privacy settings for location services, and it's a system services under there. But it seems like there are more apps that do that now that are sort of keeping tabs on your location that way. And I know that's one reason that a lot of people don't turn on location for everything also. One of the last thing that I really wanted to share, because I think that people forget about this a lot, is FaceTime, because people never really used it. I'm not sure why I disappeared there and now I just see a pair of scissors. But FaceTime calls that allow just audio now.
Right.
I think that's fantastic, that if you're on Wi-Fi that you don't need to use your 3G for calls, that you just have access to do that through FaceTime. So I think that's a really nice one. And then also that those trusted Wi-Fi hotspots, if you're on, say, AT&T, that it'll automatically jump to them for you so that you're on Wi-Fi more often than having to be on 3G.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's really a handy thing, too.
Yeah.
So is it time for my favorite segment?
It is. Can you only see me as my icon now?
Yes, I still can only see you as your icon, though.
But now you're seeing the icon, because before I was screen sharing, but now you just see the icon, right?
Right.
I don't know what's going on. Okay, let's finish with your favorite segment of the show.
You're doing it wrong. Yes, that's awesome. But okay, so anyway, you're doing it wrong. I get told this a lot about everything, and I love that Justin Tart, he writes such Justin Tart on Twitter. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, T-A-R-T-E.
Tarte, no.
Tarte. Yeah, I love his blog posts. They're just so honest. But I get told you're doing it wrong for a lot of different reasons. How I use Twitter, that you're supposed to do this, and then there are the avatar police on Twitter. You're supposed to have a picture instead of having an avatar, and just all of these things. Whenever I'm sort of like, just let people do what they want. But I think that we're our segment. You're doing it wrong. Of course. Perfect. And in fact, we should actually do that intentionally from now on, just because of that.
Do it late, yeah.
But these are genuinely, you're doing it wrong, you don't get it type of things that I wanted to share. And so the first one is using Google Drive to share Excel spreadsheets or to share Word documents. Sort of, to me, takes away from the whole point of Google Drive. Google Drive is not Dropbox. It's meant to be used collaboratively to create and do things. And I often get emails where people will share an Excel spreadsheet, which could just very well be a Google form or even a Google spreadsheet, but they'll share it with me and it's in Google Drive. And so I need to actually log into my Google Drive, into that account, to download their spreadsheet that's an Excel document. And at that point, I wish that you would just send me the, I don't ever want to open an Excel document. I'm a huge Google person that way. And I know Excel does a lot more than just Google spreadsheets, but I don't need to do all of that stuff. And I'm also a huge fan of scripts, so Google Apps scripts. So
right.
I use spreadsheets, Google spreadsheets, for lots of things. But that bothers me that people would make me go to that extra effort. It sort of turns people away from Drive sometimes, I think. Instead of creating a Google spreadsheet and sharing it with certain people, then they're actually uploading an Excel document and sharing that Excel document through Drive. You're doing it wrong if you're uploading Word documents and then sharing those through Google Drive. Just send it to me in the email instead. Or actually, do it right and make it into a Google document and share it that way. So that's my you're doing it wrong for the week.
And I like that one a lot. I mean, there's too many people that it's just like you might as well create it in Google Drive instead of trying to send it. And it's not productive. It's a waste of time, you know?
Absolutely.
So you want me to share my Google Guru tip?
Yeah, well, here, and since I can't see you, I'll go ahead and I'll add...
add that.
Yeah, I'll touch it.
I don't know why the camera isn't working. It was working before, but, you know, the screen share has been, like, our cursed issue here.
No kidding.
You look like you're ready to run a Google marathon or something like that. My Google Guru tip, which we're going to do a Google Guru tip every show, hopefully, is there... If you go to your Google Drive and you open up any document or anything you've been working on, all right, so once you get to a document or something, anyway, if you go to the very top of your document, there's a little place that says Last Edit Made, and there is another place you can do this, but I really enjoyed the other day when I clicked on where it said Last Edit Made, and on the right side, a toolbar shows up that tells you who made the revision and what time it is, and you can see it highlights exactly what revision they made. And this has come in very handy for me with the teachers that I work with, especially in things like the schedules that we have, or I can see who's been editing documents and what they've done to it. It's just really helpful. And I know you showed me another way to do it too, I think on the left-hand side, but I was happy with myself that I discovered it on my own.
Yeah, well, that's totally the best place for it. But yeah, the other way was to go to file and revision history.
Oh, it says case is unresponsive, it says.
It's also Control-Alt-Shift-G to get there, and because I'm sort of I'm learning to be a shortcut person, especially with my Chromebook now.
Right.
Or I'm trying to be more of a shortcut person, at least.
Next time I get to wear the Google headband and do the Google Guru tip. I can feel like a Google guru.
I was going to say, so I really do think that there are just so many things that I'm really enjoying about iOS 7 that I've it made me forget about a lot of things from iOS 6, that a lot of those things are a lot easier to me, because I know it's been a little while. It's grown on me quickly. Now, I was sort of a fan to begin with. I love the Android kind of look without having to sort of have an Android device, because I'm an iSheep that way. I love the stuff. Well, it's true. I really, you know, for me to have a Chromebook basically as my main computer now, it doesn't
seem.
I call it my MacBook Chrome, and I have a little picture of the Eric Carle caterpillar coming out of the Apple, put into the spot where an Apple would be. But I'm liking the Chromebook, but Apple stuff is awesome. I mean, it's expensive, but it's great stuff.
Yeah, I love Apple. You know, Apple fangirl, my photo stream.
That's right. Yeah, we do have the shared photo stream where I get to see all the kiddos.
Yep.
Awesome pictures.
All right. What's next?
What's next? Are we done? Did you want to share anything else?
Yeah, I just want to share about our blog, cuttingeducation.com it is, right? And it's spelled kind of funny, cuttingeducation.com, but we're going to be blogging more there when we have some time. I'll probably do another blog coming up, but there is one post there, kind of just how we got started with this podcast and just a little background about us, so you can visit that.
And we're on the Twitters at
yes,
Cutting Edu, E-D-G-U.
Yep. Visit us on the Twitters, follow us, tell your friends.
So I've enjoyed it. We're going to have tech issues all the time, but we're just going to, you know, power through this stuff.
Yep.
And I'm happy to try and get to do some way. It's fun to get to hang out with you. So
it is.
The conversations that we normally get to have anyway, we'll just try and share those now from now on out with everyone in the world. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.